Once again, we get together for a short reflection, and we're deep in the Easter season. It's just an incredible time. In fact, to even talk about depth when it's so high and spacious, this God of all creation, this cosmic Christ, who came among us and in the most intimate of ways, as we remember those of us who are Christian, embracing the incarnation. The God who in the incarnation embraced us. Through Mary, a simple woman, through Joseph, her spouse. I mean, this is a hugely human story. And in the core of this human story is God, the divine one who's with us always, loving us. Loving us, there's that big word, loving us. You know, I was thinking as I was getting ready to sit with you for a few moments here and reflect on this, that we used to say when we were kids, or our parents would say, well, if I had a dime for every time I heard, you know, so it would be probably comment on redundancy, or multiple times a word would arise. So in today's economy, I suppose I'd want to say, if I had a dollar or maybe five for every time through this season, and particularly this Sunday of Divine Mercy, when I'm sharing this reflection with you, if we had a dime or a dollar or a smile for every time the word love is used. It's interesting that mercy is not held by that word. It is held within that word. There's no confining mercy because love is freedom. And in love, you and I are set free, my sisters and brothers. It's as radical as that. I mean, you and I who want to be instructed again, we want to be students of Jesus. We're disciples, all of us. And the teaching happens in love, in being loved and in loving. And so for us to take time here isn't for me so much as I might be doing now to instruct us, to give us ideas, but it's rather for you and I to move into that incredible and vast truth of the overwhelming mercy of God, within God, who is love. The reading for this Sunday has richly two times in it, and also two themes, just to mention them a bit. It's John, St. John's Gospel, the one attributed to John, chapter 20, 19 to 31, and the beginning of it is his friends gathered, and we would say this is a larger sense than the apostles. It's not only the 11. So John here and in other places near the end when he talks about them, it isn't limited only to the 12. We'll hear about the 12 in a moment, but he's been meeting everybody in small groups as we do these days and encountering us, breathing on them here, breathing. His breath, breath of life, breath of forgiveness, the breath of love that brings us reconciliation. So that he says, not only to the apostles, but to each of us, and to the church membership, to the body to receive the Holy Spirit, whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained. Now, we have a sacramental and organizational notion of that, but that does not preclude the wonderful truth that this breath is given to us, this healing, forgiving, divine love. This mercy is given to you and me. And not so much to pass on to others, but to live with others in the passing on of darkness and sin and all that would bind us. So this mercy is not first focused on sin, but it's the rising up of love that enables us to live again. That pulls up and out of any dark place in me or you or anybody beside us. And so we live beside each other, with each other, among each other, in love. In this healing reconciliation, this forgiveness that helps us rise up to a new day. And in fact, that's what spirit means here. It's wonderful, the receiving the Holy Spirit, commentators let us know, and I was reading earlier today, really means that we would have a new day, that we would be into a new time. So the forgiveness happening here is again, not sin-focused, but life enlivening. It invites us to risk ourselves, to give ourselves away, to get up and go, to enter the day. It's this wonderful God who's embracing us, and that's why we embrace each other. The sign of peace at Mass that is simple, sometimes a hug, a handshake, a recognition that we are one, we're sisters and brothers there, and the breath of God, the peace, the healing love of God in Jesus Christ. Well, just a bit about the second part of the gospel, because it's fun. Poor Thomas gets a bad rap. Jesus doesn't talk about doubt. He talks about unbelief. He says, do not be unbelieving, but believe. And this isn't just a soft English translation of a tougher Latin or Greek scripture passage. It's authentic. So when we say doubting Thomas, it's sort of our way of talking about Thomas, or maybe our way of talking about ourselves. Which, if we are, is, I think, a little stricter than Jesus would ask us to do. He invites us to hear and experience the wonderful journey to deeper believing, which is love. And we see it in the one who loved us. We place our hands into those wounds in meditation. We sit before the one on the cross, as Claire and Francis did. We gather now in this word of God that is mercy for us. We're lifted up in it. And we receive that breath. And Thomas did. Thomas came in a long line of a number of people who weren't sure or didn't believe. You might remember the boys who didn't believe the girls. The women came back and said he is risen. And the men were strained to come to believe that. And maybe women there as well. So not to over-genderize this, but to acknowledge it. we had trouble coming to believe, and that's okay. Do not be unbelieving, but believe, Jesus says. So I'm not trying to so much make you go there as much as to be here now. And I apologize that my voice has gotten a little raspier this morning already. I've been hearing in it a deeper, clearer breath of God, and I'm grateful for it. But the morning has been a wonderful, quiet one, and this is the first time that God's invited me to speak. And the word that echoes for you and me is love. God who is love, the God who is love in Jesus Christ, and the God who is love in the Jesus Christ who abides in you and me, breathed new life into you and me, shapes and forms us at this very moment. So we might sit in some quiet and let this and other deep, wonderful realities of our believing drench us with hope, fill us with the light and love of a merciful God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. My brother Greg, like Amelie and his family and I and the whole mountain community, all of us together now, invites each other to be in the love and the breath of God, who is divine mercy. Be still and know. Be still. Be.
The love of God has been poured into our hearts, poured into our hearts by the Spirit living in us.
I will bless the Lord at all times. God's praise shall be always on my lips. My soul shall glory in the Lord. The humble will hear and be glad.
For more information about Mount Irenaeus, visit www.mountainonline.org. Join us in making all things new.